hospital there that we got ready to take Chris home from the hospital. And I remember standing outside the car, and Linda is brought out in the wheelchair. And Chris is in her arms, and the nurse is pushing her along, and they open the door to the car, and they begin to put Chris in the car seat. And I thought at that moment, my goodness, she's going home with us. She's our responsibility. And it just overwhelmed me in that moment of, I am now responsible for another life. I am responsible for the training, the development, the feeding, the safety, the protection, the care, the love for this child. And the responsibility that came flooding into my mind in that moment of time almost drove me in weakness to my knees, because I felt so insufficient, so incapable, so unable to give what was needed in terms of being a dad. And I think that was really the first moment that I cried out to God as a dad and said, Lord, I need your help. You know, during the pregnancy, it was all about expectation and the birth, and we're going to have a baby. When Chris was put in that car seat, it was about responsibility and expectations and so forth. Well, at any rate, Mark Twain said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, or my old man was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have him around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned. Over the past weeks, I've been involved with remodeling our master bathroom. What started out as a casual conversation about hanging some shiplap in the bathroom and putting down some tile turned into a project that included electrical work, plumbing, whitewashing boards, using a laser level, creative trim development, ceiling work, new baseboard, installation of a new vanity, and ceiling molding. Now, being the weekend warrior do-it-yourselfer, the project dragged on long beyond my original deadline to the finish date. However, as I worked on the project, I appreciated a friend who had some tools and advice that made the job so much easier. During the project, I came to appreciate that having the right tool for the right job makes things go a lot smoother. Also, having the right tool for the right job makes for better results in the product as well. For instance, rather than using a framing hammer to hang finished trim, having an air compressor with the right type of brad nailer made the job so much easier, and it caused the trim to look so much better when it was put up. Using a laser level and hanging boards straight worked much better than trying to measure and remeasure various points on the wall. And boy, did I ever appreciate the screw gun to place 30 or so screws per hardy board backer for the foundation that the tile was going to go on. Having the right tools for the right job made it much easier, less frustrating, and gave better results. Now, don't get me wrong, even with the right tools, there were some frustrating moments in the process of remodeling. There was a few redos as I figured out things as I went along. Sometimes I made frustrating, careless mistakes. Sometimes my math and measuring skills lacked a little bit of precision. And sometimes I got in a hurry trying to rush something and that I needed to spend more time on and pay careful attention to. That left me kind of muttering under my breath, why did I ever start this project in the first place? Ever been there? At any rate, I found again that having the right tool for the right job made it easier and gave me better results. And in the same way, as I thought about this bathroom remodel project, I thought about, you know, being a parent. And I realized that there were some things that I could, lessons that I could take from the remodeling project that had somewhat of the same kind of basic philosophy in parenting. Using the right tool for the right job makes the project go easier and has better results. So let me try and explain my analogy to you. I have a friend named Rick, and he's a helpful friend. He possesses a carpenter's mind, and he has many carpenter skills that he has developed through a lifetime of experience. As I consulted Rick on the remodel project of the bathroom, one of the things that he emphasized to me was having a good plan will result in a better project, a better quality in the project. So Rick walked me through some of the planning process that he uses, and I found it to be quite helpful. And one great piece of advice that he gave me was that when it comes to finish work, do not rush the process. Patience is a virtue when you are working on the finished work. If you have patience, it'll help you to avoid costly mistakes. And so the message I got was avoid the finish work when you're tired. Avoid the finish work when you just want to get it done, because that will be the time when you become sloppy and later on you'll regret the finished product that has come out. So in this project, I learned three things from Rick's philosophy about working on my home. Number one, have a good plan. Number two, use the right tools. And number three, invest the patience and time needed to do the project right. As I took these words of wisdom to heart, I realized these principles were also good life principles for fathers to employ in raising their children. From my experience as a dad, I realized that when I, as a parent, parented with patience, that when I was not in a hurry, when I was more concerned about the welfare of the child more than I was concerned about my convenience and my authority, that there was a more satisfying outcome for everybody involved. However, when I let impatience rule my spirit, or I let parenting be an inconvenience to my schedule, things went a lot less smooth with the children. Dads, there's a real danger in letting the urgency of everyone else's agenda for your life to keep you from doing the important stuff that you need to do with your children. And these principles apply to grandchildren, and these principles apply to wives in regard to the children, and grandmas in regard to the grandchildren. Is that we can't let the urgency of everyone else's agenda for our life keep us from doing what the important stuff is in the life of our child. Like things like spending time with our children, investing ourselves in our children. Now, think about this. In our emerging culture in America, there's a pendulum swing that has taken place whereby parents are no longer encouraged to train their children, but instead they're called to guide their children in finding themselves. Training a child in our culture is viewed somewhat negatively. Parents are told that they are to be more passive in parenting. They are to be more of a guiding force, letting the children emerge naturally out of the cocoon of childhood into adulthood. However, there's a problem with this formula. See, Proverbs 22:15 says this: foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it from him. Now, I'm going to assume that you all know that I'm not promoting child abuse here. However, I want to emphasize why a child needs training, why a child needs instruction and constructive discipline. And the concept is really rather a simple one when you think about it. Notice how the verse starts out. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So I began to think about this concept of foolishness. No one has to teach a child about foolishness. No one has to teach a child about selfishness. Children by nature do not gravitate to appropriate behavior as their worldview is too small. Their life experiences are too shallow. Their critical thinking skills are undeveloped. And the desires of the sin nature are too prevalent over their will. Therefore, God assigns parents the duty of teaching, instructing, training, and disciplining their children in order that their children might learn about self-discipline, that they might learn about appropriate attitudes, and to learn about God-honoring conduct. Children are to learn the moral and spiritual reasons for certain attitudes and behaviors from their parents. A child that learns by trial and error without instruction and training and teaching will find himself or herself drawing erroneous conclusions about what went wrong and how to fix it. A child's conclusion might be, I got a bad grade because my teacher doesn't like me, when the real reason that I got a bad grade was because I didn't do my homework. Janessa, think of all the different values associated with the wrong conclusion here. The foolish conclusion of a child. The foolish conclusion of the child is, I didn't get a good grade because my teacher doesn't like me. That's why I got a bad grade. So think about that conclusion that a child would make. Number one, it's going to lead to a pretty low self-esteem, because they're going to see themselves as not being very worthwhile, that their teacher didn't like them enough to reward them with a good grade. Grades based on a person's value to a teacher, I got a bad grade, therefore the teacher doesn't value me, therefore I'm a worthless person. Second, working hard in school is useless because the amount of effort I put into school, the amount of time I put into the class really doesn't matter because the teacher hates me, so I'll never get a good grade anyway. So why do I need to work at anything? It's about who likes you and who doesn't. The student can conclude, the deck is stacked against me. My grades are their fault. The grades are their fault, and I have no control over the outcome. So why make any effort at all? I'm the victim. The teacher dislikes me, and I'm powerless to change anything for the better. I'll just have to take what I can get. You see how foolishness, bound up in the heart of the child, can lead to faulty conclusions, faulty self-evaluations, faulty energy and effort, personal responsibility and count. Now think about the wisdom that a parent would bring to that child as the child expresses the foolishness of the heart. The parent says to the child from the perspective of wisdom, the failing grade was your choice when you chose to not do your homework. Principal, you are personally accountable for what you do and don't do. Good lesson in life, wouldn't you say? Good lesson of wisdom. Parent can say, you can change the future by changing your lazy behavior and habits to being more productive and responsible concerning your studies. Personal responsibility. A novel idea in this culture. Your success is dependent largely on your effort and the pride you take in what you do. Wisdom is, have a good work ethic. Good results come from good decisions, and there is a cost in making bad decisions. In other words, there is fruit for your labor. You're not the victim. You are reaping what you have sowed. So you see what foolishness bound up in the heart of a child might mean for the child. And you can see how the parent can come along and teach certain values like personal accountability, personal responsibility, work ethic, cause and effect. You're not the victim. You bear fruit for what you've done. So children need parents to help them sort out the foolishness of childhood. This week I read from the Book of Wisdom those words that we read in our opening this morning for our scripture reading. And I thought about some of the things that were there that parents can help their children with. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver or gold. Wow, what an important principle that is for a child to learn. Doesn't come by it naturally. The child has the I wants rather than the I gives. And as you go through that passage, you see there's another number of principles there that if a child learns those principles, as a parent, you're going to be greatly blessed. Dad, there's a real danger in letting the urgency of everyone else's agenda for your life to keep you from doing the important stuff that you need to do in your child's life. Things like spending time with your child and investing yourself in your child. Children need parents. As I read some of the value statements, I am challenged that, dads, you need to take those to heart. Now, think about this. The training of a child involves teaching. Teaching your child particular skills and behaviors. The term training is synonymous with the words instruction, teaching, guidance, coaching, tutoring, mentoring. Training is a proactive involvement in mentoring your child to understand themselves in the light of who God is and how to properly respond to the one who has created him. It is a proactive involvement. This morning, I want to go back and I want to draw some comparison between the tools I used in the home for my project and tools fathers can use to build godly values in their children's lives. I think it was about 5 years ago that I talked about certain tools of fatherhood, and I kind of want to review some of that and talk about some of the other tools that I have discovered along the way. In reviewing these tools, I want to remind you, it's important for a dad to have a good plan, to use the right tool from God's word to assist in the training process, and third, to invest with patience and gentleness, helping your child to become a Christ-centered adult. Mark my words, the investment you make in your child now will bear fruit in the future. What kind of fruit would you like to see? One last thought before I talk about the parenting tool. Gary Ezzo, let me go back. I want dads to know that childhood is the construction period of a person's life that builds a responsible adult. Get that? Childhood is the construction period of a person's life that builds a responsible adult. And so, who's the carpenter in all of this? Dad, I'm calling on you to be the carpenter in your child's life. Gary Ezzo said this, values are more often caught than taught. Values are more often caught than taught. What do I mean by that? The importance of the statement is this. You can tell your child what to do. You can instruct your child as to what is right and wrong. But they will learn most by watching what you do after they hear what you say. The philosophy of do as I say and not as I do is not a very successful parenting strategy. So what are some of the lessons? First of all, Dad, you need to be an adjustable wrench. As Dad, it is always good to have some flexibility and adaptability as things don't always go as planned in life. Ephesians 6:4 says, Father, provoke your child, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As a dad, I found it was easy for me to get busy with my schedule, my agenda, my goals, that I did not view my child's needs and wants and desires to play with dad as serious as I probably should have. When you begin to see your child as an interruption to your schedule, you need to begin to ask yourself, Do I have the right priorities in what I'm doing? What a bad perspective for a dad to view his children as an interruption and inconvenient to a schedule. If there's one thing I can challenge a dad to think about, it is how can you make your best investment in the ones that you love the most? My dad was a great example of what to do and be as an adult. He wasn't long on talk, but he was a stalwart on action. He was a stalwart on example. He was a stalwart on modeling. I look back at my childhood years, and one of the things that had a most profound effect on my life was going to work with my dad on the garbage routes when I was a boy. During summer vacations, starting around age 10, my dad would wake me up at 3:30 in the morning. We would get ready for work, and on the drive to work, every morning we would stop by Winchell's Donuts. And I would get a glazed donut and a hot chocolate for the drive to the office. I'd go out on the garbage truck with my dad. My dad was the strongest person in the whole wide world. Gary Ezra's comments of values are often caught than taught, that became a reality to me as I worked with my dad. As I went to work with my dad, I would watch my dad work hard every day. It didn't matter. Rain, intense heat, tired, not feeling well. Even though he was part owner of the business, he worked hard every day. I never saw my dad slack on a responsibility. I never saw him shirk a responsibility. This is where I learned about work ethic, was watching my dad's work ethic. I watched my dad deal with the public, even those customers who were unreasonable in their demands. However, in those situations, if my dad could right a wrong or make a situation better by being the bigger person in the situation, he would. I learned that life was not always about me, and doing the right thing was not always appreciated by others, but do it anyway because that's who you are. That's what I learned from my dad and watching him deal with the public. I watched my dad when he'd finish a day's route by working hard. He didn't just get home when he got done. He checked with the other guys to see if they were behind on their routes. And if they were, he would go over to their route and he would give them a hand to catch up. By watching my dad do these things, I learned about serving others and that serving others was not always convenient because he was tired from doing his route, that it was worthwhile and valuable to him to give a hand to those he worked with. I watched my dad deal with men who came from tough life situations, some who had made some very, very bad decisions in life. Others who just fell upon hard times just because life happened. More than once, my dad, though not rich, shared his blessing with others by loaning them money or meeting a need. I learned about generosity and kindness as I watched my dad willing to give a person a hand up for, right out of his own pocket. I learned about kindness and generosity. I watched my dad work hard out of an appreciation for the opportunity that came his way in life. My dad was not going to squander the opportunity given him to succeed, but he embraced the challenge to be the best that he could be at what he did. I learned that in life, you often make your breaks by working hard. When you get a break, embrace it, appreciate it, pursue it with a whole heart. My dad, when it came time that I was big enough to work on the trucks by myself, he never gave his sons the easiest route or the cushy job. If we were going to get a day's pay for work, we were going to put in a day's worth of work. I grew up thinking that's the way the world works. Work hard, follow through, finish the job, and you get paid at the end of the day. The saying my dad shared with me many times along the way was, Kent, if you're going to do it right or don't do it at all. I hope I can give to my children just half the legacy that my dad gave to me. So enough about me. That was kind of a little brag on my dad. But the point is this. The values are caught more than they're taught. And what children see in their fathers translates into value development in the life and in the heart of the child. If your children grow up developing a lifetime value of seeking, doing the right thing for the right reason with the heart, right heart, would you not be pleased as a parent? Would that not just be one of the greatest things that could ever happen in your life as a dad, as a mom, as a grandparent? So don't let the pressures of life and other people define your priorities. Rather, prayerfully set your family goals. The second thing we need besides the adjustable wrench, and before I say that, I want to make this point. Dads, your children are only going to take their first step once. They're only going to be 4 years old one time. They're only going to be 6 years old one time. They're only going to be hit their first home run one time. My point is this. Be part of it. Don't miss it. Now, I realize we can't be everywhere every time our child is somewhere having a first, but it ought to be the priority of our heart that we want to experience that with our children. Because it's that experience that we have in our children that help to build the opportunity that as they grow older, that we have opportunity to speak in their life because we've been experiencing life with them. And we've become an authority in their life. The second thing we need is a level. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Dad, we need to be fair-minded and level-headed with children. I know sometimes when my children didn't obey my words, my focus became my ego. I am the dad, and you will do what I say. And the focus became my ego as opposed to looking out to help my children learn about good values, personal consequences, and personal responsibility. Now, the attitude of your ego or parenting and love, both of those will result in discipline of a child. However, the two attitudes will have different approaches and they will have two different outcomes. A question we must constantly ask ourselves as a parent is, am I disciplining my child for their best interest or for the sake of my ego or the sake of my convenience? Do I discipline with a level head? Dads, you are the strongest man in your child's life, especially during their early years. The power of your words and attitudes can crush your child's spirit. You can traumatize your child's sense of worth and value with careless, angry, selfish words that abuse the spirit. What you say matters. Momentary anger may be an outlet to your frustration, but it will leave a lasting welt in your child's spirit. So part of having a level head is sometimes you got to go back to your child and clarify that your anger was selfish, but you're still upset about their behavior and teach to the value. A level head notices that the word discipline is closely associated with the word disciple. Discipline should be for the purpose of discipleship, training, and character building. Adjustable wrench, a level. Third, clamp and glues. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walks in integrity, his children are blessed after him. In life, there's going to be tough circumstances to face, crises to manage, hard issues to deal with, and chaos to endure as things in life don't always go as you have them planned. As dads, in times of crisis and confusion, you are the pace setter for your children and for your family. You are the stabilizer that is needed to hold things together. When money is short, the car breaks down, and tensions are rising, what will you do to manage that crisis? What will your attitude be? You need to be the glue and the clamps that bring it together. When chaos breaks out in a family dispute, who will be the steady influence to bring reason and calm back to the family? Do you go ballistic to get your own way, to guide, or do you guide with a steady hand in a positive direction? Dad, you are God's glue and clamp in order to hold things together in times of despair, crisis, and turmoil. The strength of your faith and trust in God will bring forth feelings of security and safety for your family. By modeling godliness and acting with biblical purpose and attitude, you will help your children see that when pieces get broken in life, that they are still safe and secure at home and in the family. Adjustable wrench, level, clamps and glue, shop towels. This is the one that I often need the most in my garage. It's one that I needed a lot in my parenting. One of the things that I went through a lot of when I was doing this project was the paper towels. I didn't go buy it through the sheets. I went by it by the roll. I have the unique ability to get paint, engine oil, tile motor, gas spilled in the most unwanted places. As a dad, you will not be perfect and you will not make the right decision all the time. So get past your ego, humble yourself before the Lord and your family, and don't think you have to prove yourself to be right even when you're wrong. The verses on the front of the bulletin, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And you've been called to be a dad. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Sometimes we can forget that the biblical model of relationships is to be applied in the home, not just at the church or in the community. Just think, if all Christians were predominantly characterized by these three verses at home, how much better families would be. We need to be careful that we don't conduct ourselves with an attitude of a bloated self-importance. Galatians 6:3 says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Shop towels are needed when we let our ego and pride become our ally. Have you ever scolded your child over something they really didn't do, jumped to a conclusion after you have just found out a few of the facts, and now that you got more of the facts, you found out that you were wrong? Be careful not to hang on to self-righteousness just because you're the biggest and strongest person in the room. How you deal with mistakes help your children how to learn to deal with their mistakes. Dad, if you can't correct your wrong, your child will never how to learn how to correct their wrong. Values are caught more than taught. Children don't need perfect dads because God didn't create any perfect dads. Every child needs to learn in life how to clean up their own messes with others by watching how dad cleans up his messes with others. If you think you're doing it right all the time, you're probably the only one that feels that way. Finally, rubber mallet. Fathers must be able to do some gentle persuasion without doing damage. As we look at the movement of our society away from God's truth, we see there is a rejection of the scriptures and its teaching about parenting. So just pause for a moment and think about the rejection of God and God's principles when it comes to family, when it comes to being a dad, when it comes to being a mom, that we've decided to go our own way. In this experience that we've been having in our culture and doing it without God, how's that working out for us? How's that going in our country? You see, teaching children through the means of appropriate discipline is good medicine for the soul. Notice the picture of the rubber mallet on the screen. Discipline is not with a metal hammer of abuse or a sledgehammer of harm. However, discipline for correction instruction is necessary. Common sense requires the use of the rod as a helpful tool in discipline, not as an abusive tool. Proverbs 29 verses 15 through 17 say, "The rod of reproof give wisdom. If foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, and the rod of reproof gives wisdom, what direction ought we go? But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. The wicked increase, transgressions increase, but the righteous will see their fall. Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul." You know, it takes some time for a child to get to adulthood before they will give comfort for the discipline you gave them in their life. I look back at some of the discipline I received when I was a kid. And at the time, it was not all that joyous. It was not all that fun. I thought it was unfair. I thought it was unjust. I had my reasons for what I did. They had their reasons. They just didn't agree. And now as I look back on it, I appreciate it that my dad loved me enough, that my mom loved me enough, that they would bring discipline into my life. Because without discipline in life, life would be chaotic and without boundaries now. So, Dad, if I were to ask you, what is the purpose of disciplining your child, what would you say? Everybody think about that for a moment. What is the purpose for disciplining your child? Well, what's the purpose of it? The purpose behind discipline is to not let evil root in the heart of your child. That's the purpose of discipline. So evil won't root in the heart of your child. Thus, intervene early. While the child is young, it's the best time for intervention. It is harder to dislodge a sin that is rooted and gain a stronghold in your child's life when they are old. Therefore, not letting evil root in the heart of your child is the best means to helping them to grow into being a godly adult. Good parenting practice should drive evil out before evil has a chance to grow and root and blossom. So, adjustable wrench, be a level, clamp and glue, shop towels, and rubber mallet. All good tools that should be in a dad's toolbox when it comes to parenting your children. Dad, we need you and we need moms that love Jesus and take responsibility for their family. We need you more than ever in our culture. We need you more than ever in our churches. Your children need you more than anything else, than what this life has to offer as you lead your children to the Lord Jesus Christ. So work hard. Appreciate you, Dad. Appreciate what you do. I know it's not an easy task, but I appreciate you manning up to the task. I appreciate you taking responsibility for the task, and I appreciate you pursuing that task with the whole heart. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for today, for the opportunity to think about fathers, and hopefully today that today's lesson would be taken as filling our toolbox, not a rebuke, not a discipline, but an expanding of our knowledge of some of those things that we can do and be to be more successful with our children. Because one of the things that we desire is that as our children go from childhood to adulthood, that they would grow up respecting you, honoring you, pleasing you, that they would grow up respecting others, that they would grow up and that we would have an adult relationship with them that is warm, embracing, and that we could journey the rest of life together. We love you, Father. We thank you for your truth and your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I'm not sure, Linda's, but in honor of my dad, we are providing some special treat for you out here. Besides some healthy snacks out there, there's some donuts. And so I invite you to come on out and have a donut. It's okay to have a healthy snack as well, but don't forget the donut. God bless you.